T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Nice job, Eddie Scazzeri. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Boomer Esiason, Craig Carton, I'm a fan, and of course, worldwide on CBS Sports Network. I think the quote that we shall live by comes from Peter Shue. Who's Peter Shue, you ask? He, of course, dated Madonna back in 1994, and he's trying to sell her panties and other stuff that she left at the crib. Yo, you want your panties back? You gots to pay. That's what I'm talking about. Now, America at its best. Good morning, Boomer. How are you today, buddy boy?
I'm doing great, Craig. I used to have a crush on Madonna way back when in the day, back in the 80s, when I was walking around with my Sony Walkman. It was
you
like
dated Madonna?
I didn't date her. I said, you know, I kind of had the odds for her. Yeah. She was
Madonna.
She was big on the scene.
And she was borderlining.
Yeah, your boy Peter King picked me up at the Cincinnati
like
Airport.
Like virgining her face off.
After I was drafted by the Cincinnati Bengals in the second round and pissed off and everything else. And he picked me up at the airport. He goes, what do you listen to? And I said, Borderline. He goes, Borderline, what's that? And I said, that's the new hit album by none other than this chick named Madonna.
Yo, you want your panties back? You got to pay like everybody else.
I think I might buy a pair of those.
Yeah?
You never know.
Madonna's underwear? Anyway. Yankees last night. It's another series loss for Yankees. Then they had to go out to Seattle.
All right, so here's the number. They haven't won a series in 10 series.
They've not won a series in forever and a day. Frazier, of course, gets hit. And they're not good enough. They're just not good enough right now.
But now whether
they don't get the pitching, they don't get the hitting one day. Sometimes it's a combination. And they are now 3 games over 500. They're well under 500 over the last 30 games. At 40 games. And the question is, like I said yesterday, I didn't think the trades they made were significant. Like, they didn't get an ace. They didn't get a 40 home run guy. That being said,
how many of those guys are available? What they did is they did a good job, kind of mixing and matching. And, you know, they're going to move Headley over to first base. He's going to platoon over there. And the fact of the matter is Brian Cashman was aggressive, and he fortified the bullpen, which obviously he had to do. So he did that. So he's doing all the right things. Now the question is whether or not this team is going to actually start playing.
Right, because if you're down 6-0 or 6-1, the bullpen don't mean nothing.
And can I say something, man? I mean, you got to play your guys now, right? I mean, I guess Joe Girardi's been around long enough. He knows when he has to kick it in gear.
I mean, he pitch hit, but...
I know, but you got to play your guys. I mean, isn't it about winning series now? And this is 10 series in a row, which they have not won. Now, they split with the Red Sox the series prior to this. But at the end of the day, this team has been awful the last 40 games.
Yeah. I mean, awful is the exact word for it, and it's a different problem. You know, every night, and now they're, 4.5 games out?
If they didn't get off to the start that they had, they'd be as bad as the Mets are, if not worse. Think about that for a second.
You can't take out a 40-game trunch of a season. I mean, they were 16 games over 500. The problem is
they played 13 games
under 500 since that moment.
That's what I'm...
Since that high-water mark, they've been record-wise in the bottom third of baseball.
Yeah, as the big Yankee fan as you are, you're not concerned about this?
Well, I mean, listen, if you're a Yankee fan, of course you're concerned.
Well, who are you holding responsible for this?
I don't think you hold anyone responsible
for it. Why do you hold Sandy Alderson responsible for things? Terry Collins responsible for things?
Injuries. That's why. The Yankees have been beset by injuries.
Oh, the Mets haven't had injuries.
I'm not talking about the Mets.
No, but I'm just saying.
Talking about the Yankees.
You seem to blame Sandy Alderson and Terry Collins for everything, all the Mets problems, and, of course, Jeff Wilpon. You like to throw him in there.
Yeah.
But now when I go flip it around, I say, okay, the Yankees have been 15 games under 500. And I'm like, who are you holding responsible?
Well, you have to hold injuries responsible. That's what you have to do.
What injuries?
There's a lot of injuries. They've lost half their team to injuries. Not for as long as the Mets, but they've lost a lot of guys.
Did they lose Cespedes, Harvey, Syndergaard? Did they lose Neil Walker? Did they lose Lucas Duda?
Well, they don't have those guys on their roster, so
Mats,
they did not.
Mats didn't start the season.
Holiday
Familia's out.
Was out.
Lugo was out at the beginning of the year. I mean, the reason I bring this up,
yeah,
okay, it's not to kill the Yankees, but you know, sooner or later we got to get real around here.
Yeah,
and I know they're the Yankees. I know they're the Pinstripes. I know there's a big to do about Frazier wanting to wear number 21 because it was the great Paul O'Neill's number. No, I mean, God Almighty, stop already.
Well, we're gonna have an outfield of 77, 88, 99. I can imagine how good that's gonna look one day.
All right, but here's the deal, man. You know, they you got to hold somebody responsible. I'm still trying to figure out. I haven't heard one iota of criticism towards anything
only
with regards
Chase
to the Yankees.
Seems, right?
Well, seems Chase like Headley or Tyler
seems
Clifford.
Seems like Headley gets all the criticism that Clifford did before he got shipped out.
I mean, Dylan Betances got some of that stuff too, but that's the player stuff. I get that. But I'm like, what's going on here? What are we doing?
I think
your team's season is imploding.
I think the last 40 games they've played the way most people expected them to play.
I think
the anomaly may truly be the first 40 games. Is that possible?
But your
team, I heard what you said.
Yeah, but you're not like letting it register. I don't. You're frustrating
because,
me.
I'll tell you why. Because there are three games out in the loss column, and I still have the belief that they're going to flip that switch, and all of a sudden they're going to win. You know, 9 out of 11.
You know what I remember?
I don't know why I feel that way, but I feel like, that way.
You remember the Mets are all bowing out their chest down
That's
in spring
right.
training. We're ready. We're going to be the next great team. Blah 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 blah. So the Yankees get off to a great start. You know who was bowing out their chest? You were.
I wasn't.
Oh, look at the Yankees. They got Aaron Judge and Sanchez. Oh, my God. Blah,
That's
blah, blah.
Right.
And now, let's be real. Can we just be real?
Let's be real.
Let's drain the swamp.
Let's just drain the swamp
and stop already.
Who's the swamp on the Yankees?
I don't know. You tell me. I'm waiting here.
They have a bunch of guys that aren't performing well, and they have injuries. You put it together, you're going to lose a lot of games.
That sounds
and
like a Mets
call
to
me.
Me.
A biatch. That I'm sounds like that too, you
sounds
dummy.
Like, it sounds like the Mets to me.
No, it's much different.
Oh, okay.
Here's
so now
why
the
it's
Mets
different.
Are different.
Here's
why
it's
the
different.
Mets different.
Expectation is what changed the difference. The Yankees exceeded expectations and have since come back down to earth. The New York Mets never realized their expectations.
Can I ask you a question?
That's the difference.
Are we talking about
practice?
The New York
no.
Yankees? Are we talking about the New York Yankees?
Talking about the New York Yankees.
How many championships did the New York
27.
Yankees have?
27.
And they have no expectations? And they have no expectations
whatsoever?
They have
no expectations for this year. You know it and I know it. They came in as a team that was thought of as
a... They have no expectations.
They didn't.
Eddie, have you ever heard of a Yankee team that has never had expectations, especially after the great core four teams of the 90s?
Oh, they are the Yankees, angelic choir music. They always have
Always have expectations.
Always.
Now you both being douchey.
Al, I know
that's
you're
what
a Met fan, and I know this guy over here. We have to drain the swamp on
and
this guy.
And another douchey fan. Go ahead.
I mean, do the Yankees have expectations or not?
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, they have the home run hitting contest, king contest, or king of the king, or whatever. You know what I'm
yes.
talking about.
They,
the winner.
They didn't before the season started.
Correct, sir. Now
but
you're
once
talking.
The season started,
and you have Aaron Judge.
Big expectations.
Oh, my God.
The Sanchez.
Yes, and now all of a sudden, listen, Mr. Excuse Maker over here.
Oh, yeah.
Can't
How am I
see
making
it.
Excuses?
You're
not playing
maker.
Well.
Oh, okay. But
guilty as charged.
I mean, Sandy Alderson sucks.
He does suck.
Terry Collins sucks.
Let me ask you a question.
Jeff Wilpon sucks. Everybody sucks over there. Meanwhile,
that's right. They all suck.
They've had more injuries than anybody in baseball.
How about this, Brian?
And now all of a sudden, when we talk about the Pinstripes and the Yankees, who have no expectations, all of a sudden,
that's right.
Oh, it's an injury here. It's an injury there.
Here's the difference.
We're not holding anybody accountable.
Here's the difference. Brian Cashman made a trade. What the Mets do?
They have. Well, the Mets are going to sell. They'll make some trades.
When's that going
to
happen?
What does it have to happen right now, or do you just sit on it and you wait?
Well, what are they?
I don't know.
I don't even know if they know anyone's phone number to make a trade.
Yeah, well, maybe you send Addison Reed and Asdrubal Cabrera to the Red Sox. How would you like that, Mr. Yankee fan?
How would you like that?
How would you like that?
The New York Yankees at least are trying to prove themselves.
Hey, Jason.
The New York Mets do
Jason,
nothing.
Jason, get Jason from Brooklyn. What do you got for us?
Jason, you're on the fan, buddy.
Go ahead.
Why are you so salty on the Yankees?
Yeah,
I'm trying to be real here, Jason. You know, you're a Brooklyn guy. You like to be real. You guys over there are always talking about be real, be real, be real. I'm trying to be real. Be real there, Jason. Come on. You know what? And see the forest through the trees.
Come on now. You can't do that. Come on.
No. You come on. I can't. Are you whining? Is a Brooklyn guy whining to me on the radio?
I'm frustrated because my Yankees are doing bad right now.
Right. That's right. Thank you for being real.
I know you get frustrated when the Mets are struggling, right?
So, yeah, but that's my struggle is over. That ended like 3 weeks ago.
Before Memorial Day.
I'm already looking forward to football, man. You know what I'm talking about?
The 1.2 million Met fans in this city are waiting for the Jets and Giants to open up camps on Monday, right?
Or yeah, but you surprised me.
How do I surprise you?
You're such a waif.
How am I? A what?
A waif.
Whatever. A waif. I've been called a lot of things. Things that are associated with thin or nothing.
What I mean by thin, like your opinion of the Yankees.
They just made a trade. They're trying to improve themselves.
Your opinion of the Yankees.
At least they're active.
Just will you listen
to me? The Mets sit back and go,
can you shut up for 5 seconds?
Woe is me. Let's bring up Tim Tebow. Let's not bring Rosario up. The Yankees recognize that they're in trouble. So what do? They make a trade.
They're
new
in big
starting
trouble.
Third baseman.
You're going to have to make a trade for like 9 other guys. Hey,
that's
can I
right.
ask you a question?
What?
What I mean by waif, your criticism about the Yankees is thin. It's just thin. It's like it's flimsy. It's waif-like. It's just it's not real because you're such a fan that you can't see what the rest of us are seeing.
We all see the same thing.
And I try
mediocre
to be as,
baseball.
Hey, dude, I try to be as objective as anybody else.
Yeah.
I sat here the other day and said, you know what? I turned off Cespedes to watch Judge.
Right.
And I'm a Met fan, and I'm disgusted by Cespedes, although yesterday he played well. So one out of every 10 games,
right.
He'll give you a little bit of an effort, and he'll actually do something for the $25 million
he's making. He actually scored a run yesterday.
Right, exactly.
Right.
So at least I'm real about that.
No, you're real about
be
that.
Be real.
What's not real about me saying that you're going cuckoo for Cocoa
Let's
Puffs?
Let's go to Richie out in Long Island. Richie, what do you got for Boomer and Carton this morning?
Hello!
Come on, Richie, bring it on. Bring the noise. Let's go.
All right, Boom, listen, I got to tell you right now, my man, it's day and night what you're saying about the comparisons as far as expectations go for the Yankees and Mets, all right? At the beginning of the year, I was not expecting the team to do what they did on the early half of the season. Coming into the second half, this is pretty much what I did expect, okay? Now, the difference between that and the Mets, very simply, we walked into the year with the Mets thinking that they were going to be the runaways in the NL East.
Correct.
Right. Yeah, yeah, okay.
Now,
so
that being said, we have the season. We're only three out of the loss column. And now, yes, they do have expectations, and they are expected to do something because obviously the trade was made.
Right,
that's right.
And they
but
made
yeah,
that
so,
trade
yeah.
to try
and get what,
over
it's not
the hump.
And guess what? It's not happening. It's
it
not
was
happening.
One game.
It's not happening.
They played
I'm just
one
saying, it's
game
not happening.
Since the trade.
It's just not
and
happening.
Pinch
I mean, you guys around here, you got your head so far up your Yankee tuchus that you can't see what the rest of us are seeing.
You know what it is? I know what it is. You're attacking because you're dissatisfied
Let's
with
go
yourself.
To Mark in Hoboken, New Jersey. Mark, you're on with Boomer and Carton. What's happening?
Boomer and Carton, what is up?
Oh, yeah.
Is up? Where's my show go? Where is that?
Yes. What do you got for
Mr.
us, Mark?
Mark. Sir, where's my show?
I'll tell you exactly what I got. I'm with you, lock, stock, and barrel, Boomer.
Why?
When Craig and the rest of the Yankee fans, I'm not a hater, but I'm definitely a Mets fan. But the last 10 series, they're 0-8-2.
Right.
Boomer, somebody get some math. The last 10 series that the Mets played, I don't even think they're half as bad. And I'm with you, lock, stock, and barrel. How can you lose three starting pitchers,
right.
your star outfielder, and expect to compete on any level, any day, anywhere?
And don't forget they lost their closer, too. Don't forget, hey, he was suspended, and then he came back and had a blood clot in his shoulder.
You're talking about the Mets or the Yankees?
Boomer.
Yes.
I don't want to besmirch anybody's athletic talent, especially professionals, but even when Familia is in, he's a Met.
Yeah, I know. He sucks, too.
Yeah,
so.
He is. It's fine. Hold on.
No. Let's go to Dennis in New Jersey. Dennis, what's happening, bro? I'm going to do this like the afternoon show.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Dennis. What do you got?
Just nonstop calls?
Yes.
You lost Dennis. There.
Dennis, what happened,
no, you
man?
You lost him. You lost him.
You thought I was a phony fan. I'm like, phony fan of what?
Well, I don't know how you're a phony
I come
fan.
Here and the, I come here and I bring the noise every single morning. And I'm just telling you right now, the fact that your team makes a trade shows you how panicky they are.
It's not panicky. Yeah, it's a team that recognizes
they're panicking.
Close.
They're trying to fill holes.
Let's put ourselves over the edge.
And let's not play our star right fielder because he needs a break.
Well, I agree with you on that. If you had a choice, would you either your GM sit back and do absolutely nothing or try to do something to improve the team?
Well, look, my team.
Sammy Olsen, I don't even know if he's alive.
He's alive.
Hey, what's he doing?
Oh, he'll make some trades. Don't worry about it.
We're just going to wait till the very end and then
maybe
and then
you never know. You try to extract the most that you can.
Yeah. How about be active? How about be proactive?
Yeah, he will be. Just relax. Why he has to do it yesterday?
So they're trying to patch. Don't you understand?
Did you say Yankees and sinking ship? At least, at least you have some sort of reality going on.
See, the Yankees woke up yesterday, 3 days ago, and they heard the song, "There's a hole in the bucket, dear Liza." So they plugged that hole. Put your finger in the dike and stop the bleeding.
Let's go to Stanley and Hawthorne. Stanley, you're on with Boomer and Carton. What's happening?
Good morning, Boomer. Good morning, Carton.
What
Good morning.
Is up?
Thank you for taking my call.
Yeah.
Listen. God rest George Steinbrenner, because if he was alive now, I don't think he would be putting up with Joe Girardi, keep losing series after series, and changing the players constantly every single day, instead of keeping some of these rookies like Frazier and them in the lineup and keep them in the lineup. And the pitching, I don't know what he's doing with the pitching.
Well, I mean, you, know, you can't blame Joe Girardi for bad starting pitching.
Pitching in the seventh inning, striking out the sides, and then taking him out. But last week, we left him in for the eighth inning. I mean, what is Joe Girardi
Well, I'm going to tell you, that's a Yankee fan right there that's frustrated, and he's real. Now, not like you. Not like you. Why don't you put these freaking glasses on? Put those glasses on because you can't see anyway, so it doesn't matter.
I can't see what?
Anything. You can't see anything. You don't see the big picture. I knew I was going to come in here this morning, and you were going to try to deflect and distract, and I'm not going to let that happen.
I'm not doing either one of the things.
You got a problem, and you got to handle it. And and if you don't come and bring the noise and you don't bring the criticisms that you normally bring towards every team, for some reason, maybe because they let you sit in judges' chambers or some stupid thing like that, I'm just telling you. You're doing a disservice to your fans.
What am I supposed to do? They have bad starting pitching in
their
offense.
Sports landscape.
I should attack the Yankees because they didn't get a good job out of their starting pitcher yesterday.
You attack the Mets all the time.
No, I attack the Mets for incompetence. I attack the Mets for not playing fundamental baseball.
They're hurt.
When you lose a game because you don't pitch well or hit well, yes, it stunk. But the Yankees at least are proactive in trying to get better.
All right.
Me the last time the Mets, just tell me this. Tell me the last three New York Mets moves. You had nothing. Ugats.
What do you mean I got Ugats? We brought up Hansel Robles and he promptly gave up a home run.
It's Boomer and Carton. Mornings from 6 to 10 on The Fan.
Button down on himself. Bold. Yeah, well, just bold design.
Well, this is an Under Armour shirt.
Very bold choice.
Thank you.
Jerry, that shirt's a little too big on Jerry. It's almost like
I've lost some
you
borrowed
your father's button-down shirt.
What are you saying? My father's fat?
No, just saying your father might be bigger than you.
He's not.
You've lost some weight? Nice.
I have.
I figure you got a second job delivering
mail. Yeah, you're
going
to go deliver mail because you're wearing blue from coming from the guy that's wearing stars all over his shirt.
Wow.
What's that?
Attacked right back. I like the
attacking.
New Jerry. I love the new Jerry.
I'm not attacking at all.
What do you say about that?
The new Jerry.
You take a shot, we take a shot back. That's
fine.
That's
we can take it. I can handle it.
The new Jerry.
The shirt is kind of sweet, though.
I don't know.
Keep telling yourself that.
Big fat boomer.
Where's the interview?
It's not an interview.
Yeah, it is.
Compass Media Networks is doing a conference, and I'm going to speak because of my storied career. That's right.
Do you think you should wear a shirt that fits? Since you're
I think my shirt does. When I stand up, I think it looks fine.
It does look better because you acknowledge it is a little big on you.
Yes, I do acknowledge that. But I think it looks fine.
You're speaking at like
fabulous.
A symposium?
I don't know.
Are you being Skyped in?
No, I'm going there.
Are you the featured speaker?
I'm going there. Me and Brian Baldinger, yes.
Oh, it's my main man. Yeah. Reminded that I used to beat his ass in ping pong.
I will let him know that you
Please
used to
do.
Beat his ass in ping pong.
I mean, I beat that ass. It was like you're crying on the floor in puddles of your own tears because I beat your ass in ping pong.
I don't get the sense he probably did that, but he was probably very upset because I know how these professional athletes are when
That's
they lose.
That's right. Beat his ass.
Yes.
Where is the symposium?
Yeah.
It's in Rye.
In Rye.
Yeah. And what are you talking about?
I'm Jerry Recco. I'm Jerry Recco. I'm Jerry Recco. Right. I'm Jerry Recco.
You're the featured speaker?
Exactly.
On behalf of Compass Media?
You're going to be speaking the about speaking, the Yankees? Yes. I mean, the Yankees. The Cowboys?
No, it's about broadcasting.
Have you prepared a speech?
No.
You have not?
I'm Jerry Recco.
No.
I'm Jerry.
Ah!
You want to go to these things prepared?
I am prepared.
Are you talking
It's
to
a
kids?
Round table. I'm being asked questions.
Maybe Eddie can put together like a little tape of yours.
I'm Jerry Recco.
That's going to be great.
I think it's great. Who else is representing Compass Media Networks?
Michelle will be there. Michelle Salvatore.
She's the head boss, right?
Yeah. And so We'll see.
So don't you think, I view it this way, since you're doing them a solid and lending your great celebrity and your skills to whatever this importance
of Jerry Recco.
I know nothing.
I'm assuming you're not being paid to do it, because you're a good guy.
Yeah. For sure, right.
I would think
because he wants to keep a job.
Well, I think you have to say, I'm happy to do it, but, you know, what's in it for me? Right?
No. Yeah, what is in it
for me? Why would there have to be, what's in it for me when we go play softball or when we go do event? Right, but...
Yeah, but you're doing something for the company. We're there all the time. You're never there.
No, I'm not there when my sons play baseball. Correct.
Oh, here we go.
My boys come first. That is true.
As they should. They always do.
Right.
But, I mean, there's got to be more opportunities with that network to do more stuff. Maybe if they think highly enough of you to speak to people, you should be their main guy for everything.
Well, I don't know about that, but down the line, maybe there will be. We'll see.
Will you get Michelle on the phone for me, please?
I don't think you need to
if
get
you
Michelle
were,
on the phone.
Care, I would just ask you a question. So. If you were a mailman, would you take the van or would you do the walk?
Oh, that's a very good question.
I would do the walk at the exercise end. Yeah. Nice. Otherwise, I'd look like a fat guy with stars on a shirt.
Oh, wow. I mean, he is just unloaded.
F you.
You
big fat
spider?
Boomer.
What is that?
I don't know what that is. I don't know what. Maybe he went to some self-help class or something.
What self-help? Why is it okay for you to take a shot when I take a shot back?
Am I reacting? I'm not. I can handle it.
He went to a self-help class.
Yeah, all right. I can handle it, Mr. Self-Help. Yes, I'm not worried about it.
He just likes to start.
No, I'm
just saying. You're the one that's firing back.
You're the one. Yes.
I did not
fire first.
He's just over there like playing referee.
Should I just stand here and take the slings and arrows, or should I pick one up and fire one back? I think you as an athlete would appreciate
being fired
back.
I'm going to wait until about 7:30 today. I'm going to wait. Yeah, that's fine. I'm going to wait until 7:30 today because when you see what my main man did to himself and then how he covered it up, it is going to be it's about as embarrassing as it gets.
I don't know what you're referencing.
Yeah, you know what I'm referencing.
I have no idea what you're referencing.
Yeah, okay. What I saw was... It's just.
Is that right? You saw something involving me?
Yes.
Oh, so now what, we all just going to attack
earlier this morning when I came in.
You couldn't handle the fat guy with stars on your shirt. So you're
I'm just saying right now, you'll understand what I'm talking about when I bring it to light.
You could bring anything about me to light that you'd like.
I know.
Okay.
I get it.
All right. I don't know what you saw. I mean, we spent 5 minutes together this morning.
It's kind of embarrassing, actually. It's embarrassing. It's about as embarrassing as it gets.
And well, why don't you just come out and say it now, then?
No, this is a tease. We
saved this. At 7:30, you're going to embarrass me?
And you know what it does? It really, truly amplifies what's been said about you for the last couple of years around here.
Is that right?
Oh, yes.
Is this an overall feel about him in the building? Over the last couple of years, or just with an
overall feel about him? Yeah, I guess so.
I'd love to know what the overall feel is about me in the building.
Yes. It all depends on who's in the building and what time
that's
of
a very
day
good
it
point.
Is.
Yes.
I hope it's about the big shoulders I have. Here's Jerry with an update. Hi, Jerry.
All right, good morning. We're brought to you by HomeServe. Relief for your AC emergencies. Visit HomeServeNY.com. And here is your guy, John Sterling. He certainly had an eye on the game yesterday and had a feel for it.
This game could get blown up right here. Here's Miguel Sano. Who fly to center his first time. Three runs are in. Swung on. There it goes. Deep left center. It is high. It is far. It is gone. On an 0-2 pitch, Miguel Sano unloads a three-run home run in the distant left center field bullpens. And Minnesota has blown the Yankees out in the second inning. It is now 6-0 Twins on the three-run home run.
And there is John Sterling.
Coconut water.
Yo, what's amazing about that is John had it. He pre-called it on an 0-2 count, right?
Well, no. He said that as Sano was coming up to the plate.
Oh,
like,
before.
This is a big spot here.
Yeah, they got you.
And
okay.
So 0-2, you get the home run. That made it 6-0. 6-1, the final. Yankees didn't mount much of a comeback. Sano, the home run. Zach Granite, a two-run single. And Eduardo Escobar with an RBI single. Jose Berrios, however you pronounce it, 6 2/3 for the win. Here was Joe Girardi. What was the issue with Jordan Montgomery on this day as he struggled in that one inning?
He just didn't have his stuff. He couldn't find his curveball or his changeup early in the game.
Right, so what are you supposed to do? So everyone's mad at Joe Girardi. Montgomery didn't give him a good outing.
He did not.
What do you mean everyone's mad at Joe
Girardi? Well, there's a rhetoric out there now where, well, Joe Girardi's mismanaging the team. Joe Girardi, this and that, you know. But when your starting pitcher gives up 6 runs in 2 innings,
driving.
Guess
in,
what? You're losing.
The last couple of days driving
fired
in.
Terry Collins, though.
The amount of phone calls that have been about firing Joe Girardi have been overwhelming. I've been surprised, actually.
Yeah, and
which I
think
don't
that's
understand.
Silly.
I agree. Here is Girardi. He says, the record not great off over the last 30 or 35 games, but we're close.
You know, I just feel like we're poised to make a good little run here. I feel like I like what our pitchers are doing and the way they're competing.
Just not perfectly every night.
Right. I mean, that was a 6-1 beatdown yesterday. It wasn't like a 3-2 loss and your pitcher, you know, threw a two-hitter.
And now they're out in Seattle tonight, right?
They are, and they see Felix Hernandez tonight. Here was
that guy.
Well, he was hurt for much of the season.
Yeah.
Here is Todd Frazier.
Yankees can acquire him in a trade.
Now, he didn't get there until about a half hour before first pitch. So he had to pinch hit and then something like
pitch.
That. Yeah. Crazy. So he had to come into the game late and he did strike out.
I don't get that, by the way. The trade was in time for him to get on a plane and be here, right?
You know, you think
I agree,
easy.
And that
and
would
I
be
know
something.
Ball players and they fly first class.
They fly private, right?
I mean, Jesus.
My thought was,
how is he here? I'm not blaming him.
They didn't arrive until a half hour before.
How is that possible, though?
I'm with you. The game they knew last night. I don't know. Why are they not on a 6 a.m. flight to get there?
Right.
Because they were in Chicago, right?
It's like an hour and a half away on a plane. No? 2 hours, whatever it is?
I don't know the whole...
They gave him a day to get their belongings?
I think there's some time to figure some things
figure
out.
Figure what out? You're a baseball player. You're going to put on a different shirt and go play baseball a half hour before the game.
Oh, you're a tough guy.
I'm not being a tough guy. That's Met-esque. I don't get it.
Tough guy. Well... You know, Met-esque.
And I'm being critical. So here I am being critical of the Yankees the same way I'd be critical of the Mets.
Yeah, but
you're being
critical of the players not getting
there. No. Whoever the traveling secretary is that planned for the guys that got traded to the Yankees to get to the game as Yankees, how are they not there 5 hours before the game? Where are they traveling from? Guam? I think Cuba, and we started restricting travel again, so they swam here.
Maybe the weather problems. You ever think about that?
Yeah, I did, and there were none.
Okay. You didn't bring those up. I was just wondering if you thought about those.
I'm going to embarrass you at 7:30. Oh, you have a dirty office. Oh, great. Embarrassing.
We all know that.
Ooh. I'm going to point out where you're a slob. Ooh. 7:30. I wish it was 7:30 right now because you have nothing on me.
You know what? Drain the swamp. Drain your office. There's crap growing underneath your desk.
Well, I'm not going to lie about that. That's accurate.
I think there's peat moss under there.
It might be. I'm growing some special Bermuda grass for my new golf course.
Great.
What else?
The Yankees will be in Seattle, as you mentioned, on the Fan at 9:30. The Yankees trail Boston now by 4.5 games because last night the Red Sox beat the Blue Jays again.
This one slowly towards short. Charged by Tulowitzki. Won't get it. Rounding third and continuing on to home is Mookie Betts. He scores. It's 5-0 Boston.
And that's Tim Neverett on Red Sox
Radio. You guys
have
a very quick trivia question. If you're watching Yankee baseball this year, you know the answer.
What is it?
I'll go to Jerry first.
All right.
Oh, you do not want me to go to you first?
No, good. I'm good.
Okay. Mookie Betts was named after whom?
Mookie Wilson.
Incorrect, sir.
Damn.
Not paying attention. Eddie Scazzeri, who is Mookie Betts named after?
Mookie Blaylock.
My man, Pots and Pans.
Very
That's
nice.
How you pay attention.
Let's go to Chris and Hal in New Jersey. Chris, you're on with Boomer and Carton. What's up?
Hey, guys. I like Jerry and all, but he's like so... sensitive.
Well,
Chris, very insecure.
Quick question. Why is it being sensitive when all you do is fight back as opposed to be a punching dummy?
You know what? It just seems like Boomer gave a little tiny rub to you and then you come back calling him fat.
You know why?
Yeah, he's just
because
awful.
It's predictable.
He attacked. Chris, I'm with you. I think Jerry, when he has interviews and stuff, is very sensitive.
I'm not sensitive.
And I do respect it, though.
You know what this is? This is a professional Jerry. This is what this is.
Big fat Boomer have a heart attack and die. You, sir, die. F you.
See, that's professional Jerry. Jerry's getting ready for a big symposium today where he's speaking.
That was right.
So now,
tape.
You know, that he knows that people are listening to him, so he has to be like a tough guy Jerry today.
I'm not tough guy. You make it sound like I came in here just throwing the barbs. I came in here to do my job, and you immediately, well, you're going to deliver the mail today? I didn't say anything.
You're not over yourself, Boomer. You did say that.
I didn't say anything. I put a nice shirt on.
Well, it's a little big on you, but you did say that.
Oh, so be it. So it's a little big on
me. Jerry Recco.
I'm Jerry Recco. You're dead. You are dead. You should be so lucky if you put a shirt on that was big on you once in a while.
Yeah, you see that?
Big fat Boomer.
No, it's not me. He's talking to Craig.
He's talking to Craig.
Yes.
Where are my pretzels?
He's talking to you.
Not talking to me.
I'm not quite sure.
Hey, is there some lasagna left from yesterday?
I'm not quite sure what that
means. Oh, my God.
I'm not sure you're alluding to there. Huh?
Man, this is going to be some symposium this afternoon.
Well, I'm not being attacked all of a sudden.
You're
weren't
not
I
being attacked.
I just sat all. Here. You're I not thought you were trying out for the sequel to Big.
There you go.
Not quite.
That's nice.
I think I look fantastic, by the way.
Yes.
Mets law.
In a mailman
you're
the type
white
of way.
Yes. The movie Precious.
I don't know what that means, but I'm sure it's funny. The Mets lost to the Cardinals 7-3. Dodgers beat the White Sox in 8 innings because of rain 9-1. And I found this interesting for the Dodger franchise, 31-4 in a 35-game stretch, the best they've ever done. They've won 11 straight games. Last night, Corey Seager hit one of a few home runs for that team.
Did you mention the pretzels were here?
No, I said, where are the pretzels?
Well, the pretzels might be here. I was excited for a second. I got distracted there. I heard pretzels.
No, no pretzels. The Nationals did lose to the Angels 7-0. What else can I tell you? Chris Bryant left the game last night for the Cubs. He hurt his finger sliding headfirst into a base. And then after the game said, I will continue sliding headfirst into the base.
How do you just learn how to do it?
Just a tough guy. That's all.
Yeah, you got that. O.J. Simpson scheduled to appear before a parole board in Nevada today, and I guess that's going to be televised. And it seems like it's a big deal for a lot of people.
I guess it is. You know what's interesting about it? You know how a lot of times newspapers, talk show hosts, TV hosts, whatever it is, bloggers, podcasters, you have a very personal agenda. So it's not about just saying, hey, here's the news, let's discuss subjectively. There's an agenda, right? Now, sometimes I have an agenda. Sometimes you have an agenda on this show. It's the nature of doing opinionated media, right? Here's what's fascinating about this OJ thing. So at 1 o'clock Eastern today, I don't know if we're carrying it live or not. I'm sure you'll hear about it everywhere, though. OJ has his parole hearing, right? Now, forget about the merits of should he be paroled or shouldn't. It doesn't matter. The Daily News hates Donald Trump so much.
I saw this.
That they put a picture of him on the front page today from 25, maybe 40 years ago, whatever. I don't know what the date is on it.
The secret history of OJ and the Donald.
So, and saying that another reason to hate Donald Trump, 40 years ago, he was friendly with OJ Simpson. So I would just ask you this. 40 years ago, who wasn't friendly with OJ Simpson, right?
True.
So I get it. You hate Trump. I hate him. It doesn't matter to me who you like or don't like. But to now use O.J. Simpson as another barb against the president is so transparently pathetic, you know? Because I'll guarantee you that you could go get whoever the editor is of the Daily News these days, right?
Do they
the
have
owner
one?
Of it. Wherever, who I don't even know who owns it anymore.
Right.
I guarantee you from 25 years ago, there's a picture of him with O.J. Simpson, right?
Right.
At a cocktail party. They probably, feted the guy at some point, right? What's his name, Morty Zuckerman? Who owns the Daily News these days?
I didn't think he still owned it. I thought he sold it.
Who the hell knows? No one reads the rag anyway, you know?
Well, I'll read Frank Isola.
I will read Frank Isola. You're right about that. Because we love Frank. But, there's a reason less than 200,000 people read your paper every day. In a city of 12 million, right? I mean, just think about that. 12 million people and like 9 people buy the paper. They got guys washing car windows with the newspaper, and they count that as a sale. It's embarrassing. What sound was that, Jerry? Can you rack that, Eddie? You all right?
That was old man laugh.
Wow. All right, it's 6:42 on the fan.
Well, Jerry made a mistake.
He did, yes.
John's in Pleasant Valley. John, what do you got, buddy?
Hey, you guys weren't paying attention. Jerry said the Mets lost 7-3 last night. They won 7-3.
The Mets lost to the Cardinals 7-3.
Wow.
Jesus right. God.
So used to them.
Don't make me go back to the tape from Monday.
Don't
make
me go back
to the tape from Monday. So used to them lose, I guess we just assume they lose every game.
The Mets lost to the Cardinals 7-3.
Right.
I do one better. That's why even do updates if we're going to get the Mets score wrong?
Do we really do them anyway?
That's unbelievable.
Right. Like people turn hoping to find out how the Mets did. Now they think the Mets lost.
Right.
But the good news about that is it's so irrelevant. One guy caught it.
Right. Surprised he even caught it.
Like Adam gets 73 calls about it because people just figure, they probably lost. What was the attendance for last night's game?
I don't know.
The announced attendance.
I know if you give me 1 second, I can get that for
half
you.
Half of them actually showed up. You know?
Well. Let's see here. The
23?
You think it was that good? Let's see.
I think announced
remember, paid attendance. Right. Actually, the announced attendance is 33. It was not 33,000 there.
Apparently, they dressed up as empty seats. That's a new Halloween costume for the New York Mets.
Right.
Hey, Billy, let's go to the game as empty seats. Okay.
Let's kill the Mets, even though the Yankees haven't won a series in 10 series.
That said, you probably figure a lot of those fans are Cardinal fans, though. I mean, Cardinals have a good draw around the country, but I don't know how many people were there. What? The Cardinals are like a national team. Why is that funny?
Not really.
No, really. Of course they are.
They're great. They're
fun. The Cardinals, like the Cubs, the Dodgers, the Giants, they have fans.
You have to be over 50 to be a Cardinal fan here. And the reason people over 50 are Cardinal fans is that when they were kids and they had transistor radios, you got KMOX here at night, clear as a bell. But there's not a single person under the age of 50, maybe even 60, that's really grown up a Cardinals fan.
You might be right. I don't know. But I do think they have a good following.
If you're looking to dominate men 70 and over, like Mike is, then, you know, yeah, you'd be a Cardinal fan.
It's Boomer and Carton. Mornings from 6 to 10 on The Fan.
There are certain things where you might say any one of us on the show is predictable. You might say that what's refreshing about the show is that you never know exactly where someone on the show is going to come out on a stance, on a topic, on an opinion. But I've taken great stock over the last hour. I know you're going to try to embarrass me here in 20 minutes, so I'm waiting for that.
I'm going to try to embarrass you. Try to show the people what's really going on around here.
The Yankee Met rhetoric that comes out of your proverbial mouth, frankly, has become somewhat comical to me.
Let's go to Scotty in Rockland. Scotty, you're on the Fan with Boomer and Carton. What's happening?
Hi.
Boomer and Craigie, what is up?
What's happening, Scotty?
Where did my show go? What is up?
Listen, Boomer, I want to preface by saying I love what you do, love your opinions, and I'm hoping that we can have an adult conversation about this. But I do have to agree here with Craigie. You guys know I'm a diehard Yankee fan, but some of the things you're saying, Boomer, is a little out of line here. In terms of, you had mentioned if the Yankees didn't do what they did 30, 40 games a few months ago, they wouldn't be where they were, maybe even worse than the Mets. But, Boomer, you know, in reality, they did do that. They put themselves in a position where, you know, go out, get a few pieces. They can turn this thing around. I mean, stop poo-pooing what is reality here.
Well, let's talk like adults. You just said they can turn this thing around, meaning that they need to turn it around because they've been playing so poorly the last 35, 40 games.
But you can't discount the first 40 games.
My point this morning, though, Scott, as we talk as like adults, my point this morning was that, you know, Craig, you know, just hammers away at the Mets. It's Sandy Alderson's fault. It's Terry Collins' fault. He's got to be fired. Jeff Wilpon stinks. He should sell the team. But meanwhile, across the way over there in the Bronx, the Yankees have played terrible baseball the last 10 series. And for me, he just will not point that out because he's a Yankee fan. And I will make my case at 7:30 this morning to show you why this guy to my left, the guy that I really appreciate, respect as a broadcaster, I consider him a great friend and everything else, but in this regard, he is just fugazi.
You know what's interesting, if I may, quick?
So, Boomer, Craigie, I'm sorry to cut you off, but Boomer, again, to talk like adults, and I could appreciate that, it almost comes back, you know, to say, like Craigie had mentioned, you can't dismiss what the Yankees have done, and would I agree as a diehard Yankees fan that yes, we've been playing poorly, we've lost the last 10 series, we put ourselves in a position where, yes, we need to turn this around. But with the moves that the Yankees just made, it almost sends a message to say, listen, we're still right there. A game and a half back of the wild card, a few games back of the East, we're right there. We can do this, and as an organization, we're in.
I got something for you. Well, you guys are, you know, going back and forth and back and forth.
As adults, adults.
It's actually nice to have an adult conversation with somebody. I think that's a very good
thing. Considering that for 4 hours, it's very hard to have one of those around
well
here.
Well done, Billy.
The
New York Yankees have now played 93 games. Do I have that right, Eddie? The Yankees are 48-45. Have I added the numbers right?
Yes.
8-5 is 13, carry the 1.
That's then
17. 95? 93. They've played 93 games. They are 48-45, okay? Would you jot that down for me, Booms?
No, I don't need to.
Eddie, can you remember 48-45 for me?
Sure thing.
Okay. And the Yankees, for the first 6 weeks of the season, were at one point, we all said, the best team in baseball.
I asked you 3 weeks ago, would they ever touch first place again?
Hang on. Let's go back a year. Just one year.
Why do we want to go back last year?
Because I got a point I want to make, so let me make my goddamn point.
Last year has nothing to do with this year.
Yes, it does.
No, it doesn't.
Yes, it does.
No, it doesn't.
What was the Yankee record a year ago after 93 games?
I have no idea.
I do. That's why I'm here.
Okay.
How many games better or worse do you think the Yankees are now than they were a year ago?
They're probably the same.
One game.
Yeah. And here's
the Yankees
deal.
Were 47-46 after 93 games a year ago. Now they are 48-45.
Has a team ever actually bought guys? Has a team that you know, and because you're like the baseball aficionado around here when it comes to the Yankees, has a team ever gone into the trading deadline like the Yankees have and acquired players the way that they have, and then a week later get rid of those players because they realize that they don't have a chance?
Sure, the Mets have at
some
point.
You could be buyers and sellers in the same year?
Within the same like 8-day period?
Yeah.
Listen, is it possible? I imagine that it's definitely possible, yes.
Right.
Has it happened? Not to my knowledge. I'm going to give you one more thing. You're going to like this one, right?
Yeah.
Your New York Mets, okay? In the last 52 games, what's the New York Mets record?
It's probably like 20-32.
500.
Well, it's better than the Yankees.
Much better. Over the last 52 games, so I'm not coming up with some random dates to make an argument.
All right, so but my point being is that what I started with this morning.
That's why the first 40 games are so important.
When I started here, every game is important. When I started, except for the games that you want to give guys rest, especially guys that are like 25 years old.
Right.
Which
makes no sense at all.
Well, that's a whole nother point that you're not talking about.
I brought it up yesterday.
My whole thing with you this morning was all about how you just blister the Mets and the Mets hierarchy and the front office when you say nothing about the Yankees and all you do is complain about the injuries and you say, well, they got injuries. This is why this is happening.
And they're also
nobody has had
well.
More injuries than the Mets, and you never ever allude to that.
I do all the time.
No, you don't.
The Mets have a level.
No, you don't.
Of...
What did they do? They didn't bring anybody in here.
Right.
Well, why didn't they bring anybody?
They're asleep
in
at the wheel.
They thought that they had a team that was going to be good enough to basically contend for a World Series. And when you look at them health-wise, you say, yes, if they all stay healthy, they have a very good chance of making the World Series. But when you lose 3/5 of your starting pitching staff, when you lose your closer, when you lose your superstar outfielder who painted his hair blue today or yesterday for an extended period of time, your first baseman for an extended period of time, your second baseman for an extended period of time, your shortstop who now moves over to second base because the second baseman's been hurt for an extended period of time, you got problems. But no, it's Sandy Alderson's fault. It's Terry Collins' fault. But when it comes to the Yankees, oh, it's about that first 40 games and how good they were.
Thank God.
And that's what's kept them this close.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. You know, nailed it.
But the thing about it is, I have come across something within the last 2.5 hours.
I don't know what it possibly could be.
That has given me great clarity as to where you are coming from.
You want to share that with us?
I will share that with you after the next break, and I'll be more than happy to share it with you. And my thing is not to embarrass my partner.
Right.
My thing is to support my partner.
I appreciate
and
that.
Understand where he's coming from.
Well, that's really
and
quite
that's why,
fond of you.
And that's why for 10 years, I've never, ever left this studio mad at you for any reason whatsoever, because I understand you. I get you. I understand how your brain ticks.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand what, you know, gives you motivation to show up here every day and do the show that you do. I understand you better than you understand yourself.
Well, I'd love to hear
from
you.
And that's why we never fight.
I can't wait to hear this revelation you have about me. Plus, Carmelo Anthony says, guess what, bitches? I'm not playing anywhere but Houston. Make it happen. And the Rockets are desperately trying.
It's Boomer and Carton. Mornings from 6 to 10 on The Fan.
And I noticed.
Let's get Jerry's
that
update.
My man, Craigie.
Jerry's here with an update.
You know, he actually shaved up nice today. Because yesterday you looked a little
shaved
bit.
Shaved last night.
You know what you looked like yesterday. Yeah, but I don't want to get into it.
Admittedly, you said you looked like a mess.
You looked like you were dirty
you said
and the
that,
whole
not
thing.
We.
And so you decided to shave. Did you not?
Shaved last night.
And you shaved very, very close.
Did my head? Did my face? Yep.
Not only did you do your head, you actually cut a couple chunks out of your head, didn't you?
Oh, that sucks. Is that why you have the hat on today?
Why don't you take your hat off and show people just how badly you cut yourself?
Well, why would I want to do that?
Is it that bad?
It's that bad. I was shaving
my head and I went, oh, man, I just thought maybe I had a pimple or something. You know, sometimes it happens. And when I washed, you know, the razor blade under the water, a piece of my head came.
Right, exactly. So I think it's very, it's very important for him to show the audience on TV exactly
what
he did to his head, and then what did, Jerry, you could describe how he covered the wound on his head.
See anything, Jerry?
No, but can I see where the wound is, please?
Do you see anything?
How did he cover the wound on his head?
Craig, please bend over.
What happened? Excuse you.
You heard me.
What happened?
Again, show him the top of your head.
Oh, come on.
Yes.
You have Yankee Band-Aids?
Yes. He's got Yankee Band-Aids on his head.
Oh, you are something special.
Huh? We got to stop the bleeding.
Oh, come on.
Look at that.
And you just happen to have Yankee Band-Aids?
Yankee bitch.
Yankee bitch.
You know, the thing. The medicine
cabinet. What thing? You mean your office?
No, the medicine cabinet. I did it last night.
And I,
because you can't go to bed bleeding out. And I have to stop the bleeding. And
Yankee bitch.
Yankee bitch.
If he had the Yankee Band-Aids here, I could understand it's a sports talk radio station. You put some Yankee Band-Aids. But he has the Yankee Band-Aids at home.
That's right.
What does that tell you? That means whatever he says about the Yankees, just forget about it.
You see where it's coming from.
It is no longer an objective point of view. It's completely subjective. When you put Yankee Band-Aids on your head, that's all you need to know.
How else was I going to stop the bleeding?
A regular Band-Aid?
But who knew that you had Yankee
Band-Aids? Well, that's why I was in the medicine cabinet. I just grabbed the first thing I saw. Boom! Pop goes the weasel.
I didn't even know that you actually could have Yankee Band-Aids.
And I crisscrossed them like applesauce, too. Yeah. I've never had a Band-Aid on my head before in my entire life. It's a weird thing to do. But I really took a chunk out of my we call it scalp?
Yeah, sure.
Or your head? Whatever it is.
Your skull.
Those are not just Band-Aids. They are Yankee Band-Aids.
Yeah, when you want the very best.
Jesus God.
Look at what you've become.
Yes. It's embarrassing, actually.
There's a Band-Aid in the medicine cabinet. I grabbed the first one I could find.
You are one big, ginormous embarrassment.
Embarrassing.
Embarrassing.
If it was a Met Band-Aid, you'd feel better about it?
You know what? I don't wear Met Band-Aids, but this is like, when I saw that this morning,
yeah,
I was just actually blown away.
Thanks for asking how I'm doing. I'm doing pretty good. I lost about a pint.
Now you look fine.
I look fantastic.
You got good color in your skin.
I'm tan
fine.
And I'm thinner and I feel fantastic.
Can I ask you, where did you get those Yankee Band-Aids?
That's not relevant to this conversation.
I do like that you have team covered Band-Aids, though. That's kind of neat.
Here's Jerry Recker with an update. Hi, Jerry.
Good morning. Yankee brought to you Band-Aids. By Bruni and Campisi Air Conditioning. Keep cool and visit bruniandcampisi.com. Just tell you before we move on to the baseball, Jordan Spieth is your leader at the British Open, 3-under through 9.
Did you see what Rory McIlroy said? He couldn't have played worse this year from the little bit I've paid attention. He misses cut after cut after cut.
I just got married and
then he goes, because I got to tell you, I mean, if you're looking to back someone, I'm a pretty good choice for you right now. Like, he couldn't have
his been. Odds, right, are probably not great, so why not?
Here's why you have to really appreciate what Tiger Woods did and for how long he did it. Because every guy that's come along as the next, you know, star of the sport who's going to dominate, none of them do it for longer than a, you know, small, finite period of time. He did it for a decade. Like, Rory McIlroy
has
had great,
you
know, five tournament runs, that kind of thing. Spieth has as well. But neither one of them guys could hold a candle to Woods.
Yeah, but I would also tell you that Jordan Spieth and this generation of golfer are much better collectively as golfers than when Tiger Woods was running roughshod over guys who are much older than he was, and he was hitting the ball like nobody had ever seen before. So he was the one that spawned this generation of golfer, I believe.
Right.
And that's why they're all good, and that's why anybody at any given moment can win a golf tournament. He dominated, and I'm not taking anything away from Tiger, because I swear to God, he put golf back on the map and made it cool to play
Absolutely
golf.
Absolutely right.
And that's why we're seeing all these great young players. And look,
they wanted to be like Tiger Woods.
And look how fit these players are. I mean, you know, Tiger Woods was playing against the Walrus, for God's sake.
There's no more John Daly's or Walruses.
No, these guys.
There aren't many of them. That's
for these guys are all.
It's not like the women's store, you know? What? There's a whole to-do in the women's store.
Is there?
What do you mean?
There's
a whole to-do about the clothing.
I mean,
I'm serious. There's a big thing going on. I can't believe I'm talking about women's golf. Where a number of the really, like, top 20 ranked, I guess, players happen to be heavy or, I guess, thicker. What, I don't know what phrase you want to use. And they're being, quote-unquote, fat-shamed, apparently. It's, like, a big to-do.
By who?
By people that, I don't know, that watch it or comment on it. It's like, and the LPGA has had to deal with it from, I guess, an image standpoint, where there is a group of very talented golfers who are winning all these tournaments. Like, they're great at what they do, but they're not fitting the mold of whether you find them attractive or thin, or whatever it is.
Let's call it what it is. The LPGA is being dominated by South Korean golfers.
But apparently there's an issue about, and I'm not bringing it up, I'm saying I was reading about it the other day.
The big thing in that,
they're being fat shamed.
Well, the big thing in the LPGA now is the dress code that is being required of the women.
And what's the dress code?
And now, of course... There's an argument on every side, right? So you say to yourself, the LPGA wants to put a very strict dress code in on the women. No low plunging necklines, none of that. When you're wearing a certain short or skort, you got to wear it a certain way and everything else. And for some reason, the LPGA and the leadership in the LPGA felt like they needed to address this, so they addressed it. And then, of course, comes the argument that women should be able to dress any way that they want to dress.
I agree with that.
The men on the golf course, they can't dress any way they want to dress.
If you feel comfortable wearing like a spandex golf outfit, do it. If you feel comfortable wearing a muumuu, do it.
The LPGA is not allowing that.
Well, that's wrong on their part.
And the PGA wouldn't allow the men to do that.
So that's what I'm talking about. They're fat shaming these gals.
No, they're not fat shaming. They're trying to...
I'm just telling you what I read.
For some reason, they're reacting to what the women have been wearing. And you could say whatever you want, and I'm not trying to make it a point. All I'm saying is that there's an argument. So you're saying fat shaming. I'm telling you they're trying to ask them to cover up.
They're not happy that you've got a bunch of heavyset women winning golf tournaments.
I don't know. I watched the U.S. Open this week. I saw one heavyset woman, and she was at the top of the leaderboard.
Yeah, the woman
and I don't care
like,
if she's heavyset or not.
Like a cow.
But the other...
She did. She wore an outfit like a cow's hide. So that was like her reaction to the fat shaming going on. I don't know the gal's name. I apologize. She put on a golf shirt that had a cow.
The white and black.
Yeah.
And,
yeah. Oh, Shen Feng. Shen Shen Feng is her name.
Is that her name?
Yes.
Well, there you go. I'm not making it up.
Yeah, but the other girls behind her were all dressed appropriately, looked great.
But they couldn't
like they were all very athletic. I mean,
they're great golfers. That's my point. I don't even know how I got on this stupid point, but the point was.
No, we got on the point because we were talking about what Tiger Woods did to the men's. And we talk about fat shaming. You know, Tiger Woods did that to all the men that were playing at the time when he was dominating the sport.
Beat them down.
So anyway.
And now you look at what has spawned from Tiger Woods. We were talking about the athletic body types that you see on the men's tour.
I get it. I mean, imagine heavyset gal wearing a cow shirt. It's pretty funny, actually.
Is that why she wore that?
Yes.
That's
what I read. I mean, I didn't speak to her, of course, but that's what I read, yeah.
Well, hold on.
I give her credit for it, actually, because she's comfortable with who she is. So if you don't like it, that's your problem. You know, some people are actually content, you know, being a little thicker or, you know, whatever, having ear hair, whatever the case may be.
Right.
It's, you know, when you comment on it, you're the one that's got the problem. Like, some people enjoy having Yankee gear on their heads. Some people like to mock it because they don't understand.
Right.
You know, that's on you. That's your insecurity, not mine. And anyway, Jerry's here. Hi, Jerry.
All right. So beyond the golf, we had the Yankees last night. Todd Frazier did make his debut. He didn't start. But came into the game late, struck out his first at bat, got hit by a pitch in his second at bat. They wound up losing the game to the Twins 6-1. Minnesota with the 6-run second inning. Here was Frazier taking us through that first at bat and how it went for him.
I was a little foggy, man. I'll be honest with you. You know, just getting off the plane, I didn't really sleep last night. And getting up there, you know, I faced Berrios a couple times already, but it, you know, felt like my first at bat basically getting called up again. So.
So a little nervous moment.
I guess if you show up a half hour before the game, I mean, I know they pinch hit him and all, but maybe you shouldn't even play.
Because
I'm sure it's a whirlwind for him.
Kid,
I get that.
The kid Canley came into the game in the eighth inning, and he was, I mean, awesome. He was 17 pitches, 15 for strike, struck out two.
And that's how you use a guy like that. There was no pressure. You were down 6-1.
Right. And so, and by the way, this kid, from everything I was reading yesterday, this kid looks to be the gem of the deal. And I don't know much about him.
The gem of the deal.
Yes, this kid, supposedly the stuff he has, this could turn out to be the big part of the deal.
You know what he looks like from behind?
I don't know.
Phil Hughes,
okay.
His delivery reminded me of Phil Hughes last night for some
reason.
I don't know about you guys. Like, have you ever been in a situation where you saw someone from behind and you immediately knew who they were? Or no?
Perhaps.
Probably a young gal or whatever it might be.
Maybe.
You know, a buddy.
Possibly.
Like walking down the beach.
Please bend over.
just from behind.
Where are you get? What are you getting at?
I'm saying I thought Phil Hughes was pitching last night. I go, Phil Hughes is back. What?
Just because of the way he looks
from just
behind.
Like Phil Hughes from behind.
Right.
Like I could pick Boomer from behind, for sure.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's either him or Phil. I mean,
also very true. But I know I could tell Boomer. Like, if Boomer was naked walking away from me on a beach. Let's say.
Okay, now that's weird.
I would be able to say that's my main man, Boomer. I just from behind, I would get that.
So. The bare ass would do it for you?
No, just the whole
thing. Like, that's how you would identify?
If we all were lined up naked, walking down the beach, like in a Quentin Tarantino film.
Boy, this is a thought I want to have.
And they slow played it, you know, like on the black and white camera.
There are the bones. There's Al.
Like, don't you think we'd be easy to pick out who's who?
Yeah, Al's ass.
Please bend over.
I get it.
Yeah.
And then it'd be Eddie's ass, then it'd be Harry Jerry. I get all that. Yeah.
Right.
Okay. That was weird. Here's Joe.
I'm just saying, like, I'm pretty good at that.
You ever worry about sunburn, too?
No, I don't.
We should do Copper Tone commercials.
Yeah.
You know,
let's do them.
Great.
Yeah, it'd be awesome.
My white ass right in front of the camera.
Copper Cone?
That's my toned tan body.
Copper Cone?
What do you keep saying?
What?
What do you keep saying? Pepper Cone?
Copper Tone?
Copper Tone.
Copper Cone.
Who?
What?
Copper Tone. What are you talking about?
Yankees trail the Red Sox by 4.5 games.
I've no idea what you're doing other than
and you are like, and you are supposed to call yourself like an up-to-date guy.
Well, you're mumbling. I don't know what you're saying.
That's why I did it.
Copper Tone.
Yeah. Copper Cone?
You're an asshat.
I won't burn that way. I'll protect my face.
Red Sox beat the
Blue
Jays.
Your ass on my face.
Your face on my ass.
Well, Billy, the day was going well until he talked about an ass hat.
Mets beat the Cardinals
7-3. About a size 12?
Mister. What else, Jerry?
Right. The Mets in that win, Jacob DeGrom, 6 2/3, wins his 7th straight start, which is good for him. The one thing I don't like, and I don't know where it's coming from, the notion that the Mets could possibly trade Jacob DeGrom, and he was actually asked about
trade.
I agree.
Excuse me, the Mets.
But he was.
No, it's because the media asked stupid questions.
But like, why would the Mets even entertain the thought of trading Jacob DeGrom?
That's a media guy asking a question.
I know that.
Why are we writing about it? Well,
because
they're trying to get a story. They're trying to get like a headline. Because what if the answer was, everyone's tradable, because then that becomes a story.
Jacob DeGrom should become for the Mets what Clayton Kershaw is for the Dodgers. What what's his name? Strasburg is for
what's he? 11-3.
Yeah, yes.
How many games under the Mets? Under 500. I'm asking for a point.
The Mets are 8 games. I think they're 42-50. I believe
they're 8 games under 500, yeah. And he's 8 games over 500.
Yeah,
that guy's. I mean, clearly the MVP of the team.
Which is
that's
why
he's had a great year.
Terry Collins was asked if it makes
sense. And then the funny boom, it went from Harvey was supposed to be the guy, then Syndergaard was going to be the guy. And the one guy that really doesn't say much, right?
Yep.
But goes out there and just busts his ass and is now 11-3 is neither one of them guys. It's Jacob DeGrom, the Grominator.
I think there's a lot of Met people that would have told you before the season started, this is the guy. I mean, you said all you want about Syndergaard.
It was all about Noah Syndergaard.
I think a lot of Met fans would tell you it was about DeGrom.
Well,
you
say
I really
that now.
Do.
But no, don't forget, in March it was Syndergaard because he showed up all jacked.
I know that.
And it was the return of Matt Harvey, right? And then people almost took DeGrom for granted in comparison to the talk of those two guys because of what they had kind of represented for Met fans.
I know.
But DeGrom's better than both of them.
But you have to remember, at the beginning of the year, Syndergaard was your number one pitcher.
By far. I know that. I'm well aware.
No,
but not by far. I'm just telling
you.
He was the guy. The pecking order, he was the guy who was going to open the season. He was your starter.
Right.
Just like Matt Harvey was the starter. But all that Jacob DeGrom has done since he's been here is just be consistent right through.
And he's been great.
We call him the DeGrominator.
Well, he's
some
the team
people
MVP
say
is what he is.
Yeah.
Seth Lugo, Lance Lynn this afternoon. Mets try to get a split of the 4-game series. Dodgers beat the White Sox in a rain-shortened game in 8-9-1. They have won 11 straight games, 31-4 in their last 35. Really remarkable what they have done. The O.J. Simpson parole hearing
That's great.
You guys have an interest in seeing this live or no?
No.
I don't, no. I really have zero interest.
Eddie, Al, any interest in like having to see it or no?
I have zero interest.
Al will be glued in.
You'll put Al?
Or locked in and glued in.
I am normally locked in with anything OJ, but I know he's going to get out, so.
So is it yes or no?
No, I'm not interested.
No, it's amazing. Is that he's been in jail for eight,
He's been in jail for 8 years.
Which is crazy.
I'm not interested in watching it.
But you'll make a point of finding out about it.
Sure.
Now, when your phone goes, and it goes, O.J. Simpson, paroled, right? Will you then go to watch the announcement, or is that enough for you just to read it?
That's enough for me just to read it.
See, I don't care about seeing it live, but I will go back. I'll go because I want to see the reaction, you know, and all that crap.
You could probably say that O.J. Simpson is not only responsible for the deaths of two people, but also responsible for the emergence, I should say, of reality television.
Could be right about that.
I don't know about that. I don't know if I go that far.
That whole trial was nothing real. It was the whole reality of the trial and all that crap and him getting off and the gloves don't fit. You got to quit and all this other crap. I mean, just the idiocy surrounding the fact that he got off in an L.A. court of law. It's just mind-boggling.
Well, listen, it did captivate a country for a year. That's for sure. You know,
hey, him riding around in the white Bronco during a Knick game.
Well, an NBA Finals.
Yes.
Not just any Knick game.
That captured a country.
NBA Finals.
Where they
actually put a little box screen in the middle of an NBA final game so that we could all watch the Bronco go by.
Yep.
I was at a bachelor party in Philly at the time, so I was a little distracted. But then my Knicks were playing ball.
I was at a bachelor party here in New York.
Were you?
Yes.
I knew we had. See,
look
this
at
is,
you two.
This is what
my
I'm talking
God.
About. On the same page, no matter when it was in life. Like, see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I'm sure so.
Were you at a bachelor party, Jerry?
I was not.
When's the last time you went to a bachelor party?
Have
you ever
time.
Gone to one?
Yeah, of course.
You have?
Yes.
Al, have you ever gone to one?
Many years ago.
Mm-hmm. How many?
I mean, we're really not at that age right now.
The mid-90s.
Yeah. Did you have a bachelor party when you were engaged twice?
No, I think you have the bachelor party right before you're going to get married.
Well, you have it whenever you want.
Al never said a
in
date.
In between fiancé and wedding, did you ever contemplate your bachelor party?
I did not, no.
Would you like to have one?
This season on The Bachelor.
I'm lonely. Help me.
A man people expect not a lot from.
Most people expect not a lot from me.
Must overcome his awkward self.
Oh, hi there. It's Al Dukes from the Boomer and Carton Show. How are you?
To find true love.
I'm fun. I'm fit. I've got a hot body. Take me on a date.
A season full of surprises.
Turns out I have a bionic penis.
And unforgettable laughter.
You're nothing but a hooah.
Al Dukes is
Boozy Boozy Bop Diddy Bop
The Bachelor
Bop Boozy Boozy Bop Diddy Bop. Nailed it.
Well, that answers that question.
I think at a certain age you can have a wild bachelor party.
By the way, bachelor parties are now like a week. These bachelorette parties and bachelor parties are no longer just go out for the night and do whatever you do. It's we're going to Aruba for the weekend. It's unbelievable.
What's the strangest thing you ever saw at a bachelor party?
Nothing I'm going to say.
Well, I mean, was there anything that stuck out like, oh my God.
Look at those breasts. Jeez, come on, Eddie. Jeez.
Moist clams.
Okay.
Oh, that means, but okay.
Chum cho ya.
Yes, go to Vegas. You say that at the third red light after you pass the Luxor Hotel, and you find out exactly what it means.
Philia Johnson.
Chum cho ya.
All right, Craig, 752 on the fan.
Go-go dancers.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.